Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the first book of Samuel. In those days, Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with 3,000 picked men of Israel to search for David in the desert of Ziph. So David and Abishai went among Saul's soldiers by night and found Saul lying asleep within the barricade, with his spear thrust into the ground at his head, and Abner and his men sleeping around him. Abishai whispered to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your grasp this day. Let me nail him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I will not need a second thrust." But David said to Abishai, "Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?" So David took the spear and water from the jug from their place at Saul's head, and they got away without anyone seeing or knowing or awakening. All remained asleep because the Lord had put them into a deep slumber. Going across to an opposite slope, David stood on a remote hilltop at a great distance from Abner, son of Ner, and the troops. He said, "Here is the king's spear. Let an attendant come over to get it. The Lord will reward each man for his justice and faithfulness. Today, though the Lord delivered you into my grasp, I would not harm the Lord's anointed." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, it is written, "The first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual was not first, rather the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, earthly, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also are the earthly, and as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday reader. And today we'd also like to welcome the new listeners who heard about us from the Busted Halo cast. We're glad to have you listening to our podcast. We love our friends over at Busted Halo. They do great work over there. And we're glad you joined us this week to discuss some of the scripture readings.
Maybe we should start off with that first reading. We hear that Saul's trying to kill David, and maybe it would just be helpful to understand why, give it a little context.
Yeah, I love the way that our lectionary doesn't always give us that context, and you sit here and you say, what the heck is going on? It just throws you into the middle of a story. But Dawn did some research and is going to give us a little of the background so we have a full idea of what's going on in that first reading.
Well, obviously Saul was king of Israel at that time. There are lots of wars and different things. And so in the book of Samuel, we eventually hear about David being called and the famous story of David and Goliath. We all know that one.
Right.
But basically what has happened is David kills Goliath. He becomes really famous. Saul sees he did a good job, so he sends him out and to go fight all these other battles. And then he comes back and all the people are saying, oh, Saul's pretty good, he kills thousands, but David, he kills 10,000s. And so Saul gets all jealous and decides, well, I can't have anybody competing with me. So he decides that he'll just take care of the problem and have David killed. Pretty easy.
That's right. And so then here we see the story. This is kind of where we come in, where Saul's in the desert and David comes upon Saul, knowing that there's a warrant out for his head, and has the opportunity to slay him, and then all of a sudden realizes, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to slay him because he is the anointed one of God, and instead grabs his spear that belongs to the king, belongs to Saul, and takes off with that as a way of showing, I could have killed you.
Right. So David is, as a form of reverence for God, he does not kill Saul, just because God has anointed him. So that's then translated, if we go to the gospel reading today and the Sermon on the Mount, we see that the anointed one of God is no longer only Saul or whoever the king is at that time. It's everybody. Even our enemies are the anointed ones.
There's the connection. There we go. A lot of people are probably sitting here wondering, how does this first, lots of times for people who aren't aware, the first reading in the gospel usually parallel each other in some way. And this is one where if you didn't have all that background, you might not exactly see how that parallel works there. But then we do hear, as you said, in today's gospel, that the anointed person, it's not just the king of Israel, it's not just Saul, but it's everyone. And that's kind of the message that Jesus is giving here, as he said, you know, those who mistreat you, you have to pray for them too. You know, it's not just the people that it's easy to pray for. It's those that are more difficult to deal with. You have to be kind to those who insult you. And I think that's really, all of us kind of know that as being one of the Christian messages that really distinguishes Christianity from really any other faith that happened before that. Because prior to Christ coming, nobody would have thought to bless their enemy or to pray for those who were doing evil to them. Nowadays, we've become so familiar with that message in that it almost comes as second nature that we all know we're supposed to do it. The question is, do we do it? That's another...
A little harder.
That gets to be a much harder, exactly, thing to put into practice there. The other one that really stuck out at me was the stop judging and you will not be judged. Because that's so instinctive to our own human nature, is to judge other people. Usually we don't judge ourselves. We're not good at doing that. You know, usually if somebody else judges us, our reaction is to judge them back. Or somebody else offers us a criticism, our response is usually, well, you know, you ain't so perfect yourself.
No.
But really, that's not what we're called to as Christian people. We're called to realize that, you know, we aren't the judge. We're part of that imperfect people. And as such, you know, who are we to be condemning anybody else when we ourselves are worthy of being condemned, even though we might not believe that?
So it says, stop judging and you will not be judged, yada, yada. Not yada, yada, but et cetera, et cetera. So that's not always, if from our perspective, we could stop judging, but other people are still going to judge us. So what is this really talking about?
Well, I think in that sense, though, it's you don't retaliate. I mean, that person is God. I think there is a sense when, I mean, you're right, people are always going to be judging us. And to some sense, to become a real differentiated person, that's a psychological term there. What you really have to say is, you have to be comfortable with who you are, understand that you're not perfect, you're not going to be perfect. But at the same time, saying, I'm comfortable with who I am, and I'm not going to retaliate or give in to this cycle that kind of goes on, because otherwise you end up in this vicious cycle where, you know, you judge me, and so then I judge you back, and then we kind of get in this thing, well, who does he think he is to say this about me? Doesn't he realize this and this and this? I say, I can't believe she said that about me, because she did this, this, and this the other day. And boy, when she goes off, and you just end up in this real cycle. And actually, there's a theologian, Rene Girard, and he talks about this cycle. He calls it the mimetic rivalry, where we just kind of perpetuate in this. This rivalry starts, and it kind of snowballs because we keep imitating each other's actions. And when that happens, he said, that's kind of the way sin works in our society, is it starts and it just kind of goes on this whole snowballing effect. And the whole Christ event is about bringing it to light that this is the event, this is what's at play here, is there's this kind of cyclical thing going on, the cyclical rivalry, and each time you start it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where you end up killing the innocent person, which would be Christ, as a way of scapegoating all of this onto him. And that's one of the things that we want to be careful that we're not doing, is giving into that kind of a scapegoating mechanism where we don't look at our own faults, but instead figure that all these problems are caused by some outside force or someone else. What we're really called to do is to look at our own lives and say, I'm not going to give into that cycle. And so when somebody does come at me, what I'm not going to do is play that game, because then I kind of perpetuate this cycle, but I'm going to stop it there. And it might be in some ways where the stopping it there means I'm just going to ignore it and walk away. In some ways, it might mean that I'm going to have to find a way to actually go out and be nice to that person. I mean, every situation can be different, but the way that we turn the other cheek, as it said here, is by not engaging in that situation, not slapping the person back who slapped us in the first place, and not seeking that revenge, but instead to say, you know, this person did that, that's that person's issue, and I don't want to judge that person. I'll let the deity do that. That's for God to do. But what I'm going to do is, I know that responding by slapping the person back means now I'm going to be condemned too. If not by the other person, who surely will condemn me, but also by God, and I'm responsible for my own actions. So the fact that somebody did something bad to me doesn't give me free license to retaliate. What it does is it makes me say, I still have to respond as a Christian in this particular incident. And the Christian thing to do is to not retaliate and to find some way, if you can find a way to make peace, but if you can't, to at least remove yourself from that situation and be the Christian that you're called to be. Because otherwise you're really giving in. That's the way Satan kind of works amongst us, is by tempting us and saying, slap him back, slap him back.
How often I find myself in that. Sometimes when I read the Sermon on the Mount or different pieces, it's almost like a scorecard. I look at it like, ooh, I'm failing there. I got a failing grade there, yada. I go on and on. And I think it's important to remember that we strive to live this, but we also have the opportunity to experience reconciliation. When we fall short, we do have that option to say, look, God, I'm really sorry, and help me to live a better life.
Yes. One thing I wanted to just quickly hit on before we end our podcast here is when you're talking about that scorecard, because I think we do that. I think what's real challenging for us as Christian people is to balance the idea that we do need to be reflective on our lives, certainly, and to look and say, where is God calling me? How can I improve myself? What am I doing where I'm falling short of, you know, being a good Christian? But at the same time, not to judge ourselves even, because that's still not our prerogative. That judging, you know, it's a stop judging and you will not be judged. But there's also that judging of ourselves that we can tend to do. When you get in that scorecard mentality, it's not to say we don't want to say, how can I be doing better? Or how can I act as a better Christian? But also, we don't want to get to the point where we're condemning ourselves and thinking that we're beyond forgiveness.
Yeah.
Satan would love nothing more for us to fall into that despair, but there is always that hope, and so we aren't the ones who do the judging. It's a merciful God who does the judging.
Very true.
And I think on that note, we'll end our podcast, and I think Dawn and I are going to go get some lunch as I hear the 12 o'clock bell ringing in the background, and hopefully all of you will enjoy this podcast, grab lunch if it's lunchtime, and we'll see you next week on your Sunday Reader.